John chapter 19 and consider under the heading, Whose Friend Are You? Or an alternative, Who Is Your Friend? Jesus or Caesar? And that was the choice that was facing Pontius Pilate, of course. So I want you to turn to John 19 if you have the passage open in front of you. Whose friend are you? Who is your friend? Well, notice first of all in verse 12, if you are even favorable to Jesus Christ, then there will be a great challenge go up into your mind, as it were. You see, here is Pontius Pilate. He has Christ before him. He knows Christ isn't guilty of the charges that are being brought against him. And he is at this point in his interview with Jews around him and observing him and listening carefully to what he's saying. He's favorable to Christ. You can see he's on the horns of a dilemma here. But he knows what's right. He knows what he should do. It's like many people with regards to the gospel and to Christ still, isn't it? They are absolutely sure. They know what they should do. But you see, there is a challenge comes. They have to weigh up certain things, as we'll see. Pontius Pilate had to do, and the bad in his case outweighed the good. He knows what he should do, and even at this point, he is trying to persuade and convince the Jews just simply to let Christ go. Verse 12. From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Perhaps you are favorable towards Jesus Christ. You are disposed to think well and indeed very reverently and respectfully about him. You may be disposed to take his claims very seriously and earnestly. You know the things that he claimed for himself. You know much of his teaching. You may indeed be truly sympathetic. You may earnestly consider or are considering his words even now. But you see, like Pilate, you'll be challenged, you'll be shouted down, if not by real people, as in his case, which was the Jewish leaders present, maybe your own logic, your own reasoning, that in itself will challenge you. You see, Pilate is challenged with these words here. Is the reasoning of the Jews, verse 12. If you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend. This is what seems to clinch it for Pilate, that he does not release Christ. And why should that be such a great appeal for this man? Well, it's almost as if they're implying, you know, look what Caesar's done for you. He's placed you where you are. Your placement in life. Your position in life. your wealth, the comforts that go with it, your influence, your power. Do you know what? You owe it all to Caesar. But of course he didn't. There was a greater authority and power. There's a greater sovereign than Caesar. And that's God himself. Oh, if someone had been there to say, don't listen, Pilate. It's not Caesar that's got you where you are. If you have comforts in life and position and influence, it's God himself that's placed you where you are. And indeed, Christ has actually reminded Pilate of this. When Pilate says to him, when Christ says nothing, don't you know I've got power to crucify you? I've got power to release you. Look, verse 11, the Lord's words. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. No, Pilate, you have no power over me. But what has been permitted you for God's purpose? God is sovereign. The power, all that you have, is from above. Now again, this may be some kind of reasoning and logic that you have used not to become a Christian. For just as much as you have respected Christ, you've taken him seriously, you are sympathetic to his claims. Why? It goes beyond sympathy. You believe his claims. But then comes, as it were, the cry, oh, as the Jewish leaders hear, and it then says, oh, you can't abandon the world. Look what the world has given you. Here is your Caesar, as it were. He's blessed you with this. You have this position. You have this amount of wealth or comforts. You're not going to abandon those. Because you see, you do know. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't have Caesar as a friend and Christ at the same time. It has to be one or the other. And Pilate knows this. This comes very clear to him. I release Christ. They say to him, you do that and you're not Caesar's friend. You let him go. You're not the friend of Caesar. Now again, what's your own reasoning with regards to Christ? Who's given you what you have? Do you really and truly at heart believe it's the world? Your pleasures, your enjoyments, your comforts, do they really come from this world? Is it something you can't ultimately consider abandoning and giving up? You know it has to be Christ or the world, Christ or self, Christ or, as it were, Caesar. But you see, the appeal to stay where you are because of the things that you enjoy and have is a very real one. In Pilate's case, that's what outweighs his sympathy towards Christ. That's why he chooses Caesar. Now, just again, issue that simple challenge. As I turn you back now to verse 8 for a few moments. For look, here's what should have taken Pilate to make the opposite choice, to have chosen Christ, not Caesar. to have not been persuaded by the Jews to remain Caesar's friend, but not the friend of Christ. For he's a spineless coward. That's the bottom line. But notice how he arrives at his choice and decision, and what should have persuaded him, because the word tells us he was greatly troubled. It's as it were, he has a choice to make. He could have made an opposite choice to the one that he did. He could have sided with Christ, and he had a good reason for doing so. Indeed, much evidence that Jesus is the King, is the Son of God, was absolutely before him. Is it before you? Oh, I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's the King, not just of the Jews, as was prophesied, but the King of Kings. I believe I'll stand before his throne. I believe I will give an account before him. Well, why then don't you side with him? Don't you come to him who's offering you peace and pardon and forgiveness? Who's offering you not only those things, but everlasting life? Why don't multitudes make the right choice? Look at verse 8. Quite bewildering in a way. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. What had he heard that struck fear into his heart? We'll read the verse before it. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Maybe you give yourself a pat on the back for acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. What it did for Pilate, when he hears this claim, and Christ is before him, and could easily have said, by the way, that's one big mistake. That's a misquotation of what I actually said. Christ stands there. He allows these words to be spoken. He says nothing. You know why, of course? Because it's the truth. Because he is the Son of God. Because the claims and words that he used, the Jews fully understood that if they were claims to be the Son of God, therefore, equal with the Father, therefore a divine person. And Pilate has heard it, and it seems he knows Jewish doctrine, and he knows that this is a claim to be. And look, it strikes fear into his heart. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Oh, but he acted against his fear. Are you ever struck by the teachings of God's word? Is there anything that has struck some fear into your mind, your conscience, your soul? Anything that has greatly troubled you that you've heard, when you've heard of judgment to come, when you've thought of the immortality of your soul, when you've thought of the day of judgment, perhaps the Holy Spirit of God himself in some measure convinced you of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, you were greatly troubled. Fear entered your heart, for you know, and you knew then, I'm not right with God. I would be banished from his presence. I would fall under his eternal law and judgment. I would be in outer darkness for all eternity. Fear struck your heart. Why didn't it bring you to Christ? Why didn't you let it persuade you to cry out to him, Lord, I deserve your judgment, but you're a merciful Savior. Lord, save me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you have the authority and the power to save me and your blood to cleanse me from all my sins. Lord, save me. Maybe you just think about death itself. Maybe you're forced to from time to time, for you hear of those that are known to you who have died, and maybe it's just come. Oh, a little deeper than normal. Where does death take you? Where is he now? Where is she now? I know where their body is. I do believe in the immortality of the soul. Where is the soul? What is it experiencing? What would mine if it was me? Oh, look, let that fear take you to Christ. If Pilate had, when he heard that, what was it that made him afraid? Well, if he thought it was just an old fable, an old myth, Jewish saying, look at him. Here he's standing, I have power over him. I can dispense with him as I choose. He is the Son of God. Yes, but you see, he couldn't do that. Some things just entered his very conscience, and whatever else he's heard about Christ added to what is quoted here. When the Jews said he made himself the Son of God, and by our law for doing so he ought to die, for that's a blasphemous claim and blasphemy. It's a capital crime and offense against God. But Pilate can't think that way. Pilate's thinking, is he? We know he was thinking like that. Because in verse 9 he said, where are you from? Whence art thou? Who are you really? Where have you come from? But you see, Christ says nothing. Then he speaks silly words. Then Christ speaks, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Well, that moves, as it were, the Lord to speak and to put things right for this man. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Oh, I think he probably quaked at this point. But despite all that, he chooses to side with Caesar. I'm sure it's true. Absolutely convinced. There are multitudes who've practically quaked in their boots at some of the teaching they've heard, at gospel messages and parts of the message. Such was its relevance, such was its power, such was it applied to them, that they quaked, they feared. But you see, it was temporary. It was a fleeting fear, and something else outweighed what they knew they should have done. They should have cried out to the Lord. They should have repented of their sin. They should have come with all their fears and cast themselves upon the mercy of Christ. They knew that, but something else outweighed that. And what was it? And I just simply close with this. I've mentioned it already. It was, he wanted to remain Caesar's friend. Because that meant to him continued position, continued place, continued comforts, for he'd become used to them. For notice down verse 14, was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. That was his final selection, his final choice. Then he delivered him unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. He couldn't give up his comforts. They had put it to him starkly. It's Caesar or it's Christ. You can't be friend of both. To act favorably to Christ is to act against Caesar. You can't recognize this man's kingship, for that will be to oppose Caesar. They put it starkly. They put it, at least theologically, they put it very accurately. And it's so with you. It's so with me. Caesar or Christ, the world or Christ. What is it to be? Who is it to be? You know, I like the words though. In verse 16, in one sense, it says, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. I'm going to close with this very simple application. But I'd like you to think of the love of God. I'd like you to think of the love of Christ. They took him and led him away. Oh, how determined they were to take him to Calvary. But they weren't a fraction as determined as he was to go there. He had set his face as a flint, as a rock, to go to Jerusalem. Specifically, to go to Calvary. They took him and led him away. It's the realm of fantasy, but if they hadn't have taken him, which they were always going to do, he would have gone himself. For you see, he had to. He had to save sinners. He had to reconcile guilty sinners to God. He had to, and he had to be nailed on the tree. He had to shed his blood. He had to endure the anguish that he did, that he might pardon and forgive and reconcile guilty sinners to God. He had to shed his blood to wash the guilty sinner clean. That's why he came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They led him there. He would have gone there. With all that anguish, with the sweat, as it were, of Gethsemane, still as it were in his body, he still would have walked there. For he knew you, Christian, would have had no hope, would have been lost, would have been under the wrath of God eternally. He came to save you. His love let him be led away to be crucified. His love kept him on the tree, kneeled there, when they were mocking and scoffing and saying, if you're God's son, if you're the son of God, if you're the Christ, just come down. We'll believe you then. And no one would have been saved. He had to bear God's wrath. And he did it willingly. And he did it gladly. Now, what is your consideration? Pilate's is fairly clear. He wasn't going to give up his position, his comforts. He was going to remain, in the words of the Jews, Caesar's friend. But it would cost him his soul. And as far as we know, it certainly did. Stay the friend of the world. Stay a lover of self and comforts. Refuse to come and repent and believe savingly upon Christ. You pay the same price that Pontius Pilate did. You die in your sin. And as Christ said, and where I am, you cannot come. But turn, look to him. Acknowledge it's not the world that's given you what you have. And any true and real enjoyments and comforts, they're the gift of God. They're the kindness and mercy of God. Pilate, you're a fool. You're ignorant. You've no power over me. You've nothing but what you've received from above. Oh, he lost his soul in sheer folly and abject ignorance. Don't you lose yours. Come and look to Christ. Seek to be the friend of the Son of God, who befriends sinners, who loves those that are his, who watches over them, who blesses them, who keeps them, who provides for them, who takes them at death into glory.